Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
People that are taking Old Testament survey, they learned where that was a week or two ago, right? You learned where Tyre and Sidon are, right? You're thinking about it. You remember now, yeah. Remember writing that in? It's along the Mediterranean coast. It's north. It'd be northwest Israel, okay? North of the Sea of Galilee along the Mediterranean coast. So even that, which is a pretty good distance, but you know, why was there such a large group of people there? We don't know. Maybe somebody was healed or touched from that area, and they go back and say, you know, this is what's happened to me. And so the word spreads about Jesus, okay? They didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have newspapers, right? Okay? But they had the word of mouth. And so these people go back to their communities, touched and changed. The word spreads, and now they begin traveling great distances to come and to see Jesus. And so they gathered on that hillside today to hear what Jesus had to say. And it says, verse 18, who had come to hear him, one, hear him, to hear his teaching, and number two, to be healed of their diseases. So they came for two reasons, right? To hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now their diseases seem to take on two forms. It says in verse 19, and the people all tried to touch him, come close and to touch him. Why? Because power was coming out of him, and he healed them all. Father, we ask the blessing over your word, and we give you the thanks, and we give you the praise. In your name we ask, amen. It said that all the people tried to touch him because healing was coming out of him. And I like the way Luke says that, okay? He was a physician, right? He understood the healing process. He understood just how healing sometimes took place naturally, right? Okay, you get an injury, and just with time and rest, your body will heal itself a lot of times. At times, he needed medicine, right, to provide healing and for that to take place. He understood the healing process, but he also understood divine healing and that there was something supernatural that was taking place through the ministry of Jesus. And I like the way he phrases, power was coming out of him to heal. Okay, now, who had the superhero today? Who had the superhero? He has a superhero? All right, you guys come up here and you tell me about your superhero. I want like 3-4 of you guys come. You have to hurry here. All right? You have to hurry. All right. Any takers this morning? All right, how many like Iron Man? Like Iron Man, all right, you like Iron Man. Captain America, is that your favorite? Okay, the Hulk. Anybody like the Hulk? All right. Now, some of those superheroes have the ability to have power come out of them, right? Iron Man, he can go like this, and he has this beam, these circle beams that go up, and boom, you know, and it knocks the bad guys, puts them in their place, right? I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that have power coming out of them. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus had going on, okay? It's not like, shoom, you know? It's kind of like a little bit of the Star Wars effect, right? The Force was with him, all right? But the idea is somewhat the same, that as Jesus touched people and as they came near to him and he maybe placed a hand on them, there was a power that went forth and they were healed. Not only were they healed of diseases, but they were also healed of evil spirits that were oppressing them, that sometimes came out maybe in tyrants or in health issues, emotional issues. They were set free as well, it says. The evil spirits were, those with evil spirits were cured. Okay? Because power was coming out of him. I don't think it was something visible, but it was something that people realized, you know what, if I touch Jesus, something happens, and people were being healed. Isn't that incredible? The power that came from Jesus. And so, as all this is taking place, and Jesus is ministering to the people, he takes a break. And if you're in the classroom, it's called a teachable moment. And as parents, you have teachable moments, don't you? All right, something has happened and just taken place, and it's the timing's right. It's a teachable moment. And you say, you know what, you know, when you put your hand on the burner, that's just not a smart thing, you know, and they're sitting there, you know. Now they listen. You've told them not to put their hand on the burner, but now that they're branded for life, now they say, oh, yeah, I shouldn't put my hand on the burner. Those are teachable moments, right? And so Jesus has a teachable moment as he's ministered to these people. Now it says that he directs his attention to the disciples and he looks at them. That's what Luke says. He looks at them and he begins to teach the disciples and the crowd that is surrounding him. And it says, looking at the disciples, verse 20, I have to get my progressive lenses going here. Looking at the disciples, he said, there's a dark spot here. All right, there we go. Looking at his disciples, he says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For this is how they treated the fathers, how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you if you are rich, for you already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated false prophets. Now, we call this section in Matthew and in Luke, we call it, anybody know what we call that section? Other than Dale. Anybody know what we call it? The Beatitudes, Dale's mom. All right. You taught him well, Ann. All right. The Beatitudes. Why do we call it the Beatitudes? That's not a word we use all the time. We call it the Beatitudes because those are the attitudes we are to be, to implement within our own lives. They're attitudes, philosophies, the way we look at life, we are to implement and be within our own lives. Okay, that's why we call them the Beatitudes. And they go contrary to the thinking of this world. And Jesus speaks truth to his disciples, and he speaks truth to us still today of what we should be. Because what he is going to share goes totally against what we hear on the news, what we see on our TV shows, what we hear from our friends. The list goes on. And so as these people gather around, it was a family service that day too, okay? All right? They were sitting on the grass and on the meadows there in that flat level area. There had to be kids there as well. And they just were kind of there, okay? And they listened to what Jesus had to say. Now, as Jesus shares these Beatitudes, he's going to hit upon three different issues, okay, that I want us to look at. And those are the ones that are in your program. And he's going to share the attitude of the world, but before that, he shares the attitude we are to have that is scriptural, that is truth. All right? So he identifies three areas. Let's look at the first one. The first attitude issue that he addresses is, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you if you hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Now, how many of you like to be poor? Okay? All right. You got one guy there. All right. He's okay with it. I mean, how many like to be hungry? I don't like to be hungry. But it is to those that Jesus says, you're going to have the kingdom of God and you will be satisfied. You know, poverty and hunger often go together, don't they? And many that were coming to Jesus had health issues, they had spiritual issues. Some of them were incapable of providing for themselves because of their condition, right? And they were coming to Jesus, and Jesus was healing them. And many times in the healing process, they were now able to go and provide for themselves. Because whether the evil spirit had left, or they could see, they could function, they were lame, and now they could walk. whatever the case, their lives were being restored and their ability to provide for themselves was being restored. But the people that came to Jesus were seeking something. They were hungry. They realized that what they had, as far as material things, was not enough compared to who Jesus was. It wasn't filling that hole in their heart. And so they sought Jesus out. They traveled, whether it was a day's walk, 2 days walk. They left the responsibilities at home. The chickens needed to be fed, you know. The laundry had to be done. They left the responsibilities. And they found Jesus. And they spent their time. Just think of, they couldn't hop in the Honda Civic and zip over there to see where Jesus was and do it all in a day. It was a long process. But they made their way to Jesus. They were hungry. And Jesus said, these are the people that are going to be well fed, and these are the people that are going to receive the kingdom of God. Now, he says, but woe, okay? Say woe with me, kids. Woe. That's pretty weak. All right, one more time. One count of three. Y'all want to hear a good woe, okay? One, two, three. Okay, so if you say woe, that means don't do that, right? Okay? Stop doing it. All right. But woe to you, verse 24, who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed, for you will go hungry. It's kind of like, what? What's going on here? And what Jesus was putting his finger upon was an issue that we all deal with, I think, if we're human. Okay? And the issue is, it's a word that begins with G, and it's called greed. It's how we deal with material things in this life, whether it is money, whether it is clothes, whether it is food. How we deal with the things of this world, the material things in this world. Now, there were some that all they existed for was to gratify their own pleasure, their own comfort. Right? And that's what the world, that's the attitude of this world, right? And it's not always blatant. It's very subtle. Okay, the neighbor puts in a few new things, you know. They update their house, they paint it, they add that, and we think, oh man, I need that. Right? That'll make me happier, right? Right? Okay? So I'm going to do that instead of give to missions or give to something else. Because I need that. Oh, my neighbor got a new car. You know, mine's working fine, but they got the new car, so I need one, right? The kids, okay? You know, you parents, you watch what your kids watch, right? You're careful about that, okay? But one of the channels that really is okay and goes under the radar is what? What channel? Disney Channel, yeah. You know what your kids are being taught on Disney? I don't have anything out, you know, and I grew up watching Disney too, you know, a little bit of it anyway. It's more the movies. That's before they had their own show. But even though it's the subtleties that are even on the Disney shows, you ever watch some of the shows with your kids? Okay, all the kids have the designer clothes, okay, right? Top-end clothes. The homes that they are in are all $500,000 or above, right? And your kids are watching that, and they think that's normal. They think that's normal. It's not. Come to Wilbur, Nebraska. Come to Crete, Nebraska, right? Go to Western Nebraska, even better, right? And we begin to get the philosophy of the world. It's not like they're cussing and swearing on there and you know, all this violence. But it's a subtle message that to be happy in life, I have to have these things. You know what? And there's nothing wrong with things as long as they don't have you. And that's what Jesus was getting to. See, there was a lot of people that were gathered there on that hillside that day, but the people that were gathered there were the ones that realized maybe they had a nice house, maybe they had a nice donkey, okay? They didn't have Honda Civics, and they had a nice donkey, okay? They got them there. Maybe they had some nice things, but they were there because they realized what they had was not enough, and only Jesus could provide for them. Am I making sense? It was their attitude towards material things. We call, when we put our own gratification, our own comfort, our own well-being before God, and it's more important to us than seeking God and pursuing God, then greed has a hold on our heart. And often not only does God take a back seat, but also the needs of others takes a back seat. Right? Okay? You know, I'll provide for myself first, then maybe I'll look after my neighbor or that person that needs a little help. And sometimes our own greed comes, providing for ourselves comes at the expense of others. It was very common in that culture. They would take advantage of people, and that still happens in our day and age. And so I don't think Jesus was saying, you know what, you can't have things, but if things have you, then we have a problem. And I don't know if you deal with that problem. I deal with it. Because it's the message in our society and our culture. It creeps in. And we have to come back to the truth of what Jesus said, that those that hunger and thirst for him, okay, you don't have to be poor, but you have to understand that the things of this earth aren't going to get you to heaven. They may make you comfortable for a time, but they're not going to get you to take care of eternity and being with Jesus. So it's not going to do anything for your sin problem, right? It may make you comfortable for a moment, but it's not going to get you into heaven. And so Jesus deals with the issue of greed. Secondly, he deals with something else, all right? He says, blessed are you when men hate you. No, I got too far ahead. Blessed are you when you weep now, for you will laugh. You know, why do we weep? Why do we cry?
Sorrow.
Sorrow, okay. Maybe a death of a lost loved one. Okay, what else? Huh? Okay. Sometimes when you're happy, yeah, you cry so hard, yeah, okay. Why else do we cry? Because we hurt. When you get hurt, yeah, pain, yeah,
anger,
yeah, being mistreated. You know, some of the people there were weeping. Some of them had probably been dealt with health issues for maybe a short period of time or a long period of time. They were in pain. There was some weeping there. They maybe cried themselves asleep at night. Some were dealing, and even the loved ones were dealing with spiritual issues, these evil spirits. And this the sorrow and the weeping that caused. Some were under the weight of the Roman oppression that was very much part of their culture, okay? And they wanted to be set free. Maybe they'd been abused just by the political system and had property taken away. You know, they worked hard all their life for some of the things they had just to have the government come in and say, I'm going to take my portion and my half, more than my portion and half. And you're just left to deal with it. That causes people to weep and to cry. And we have our own issues. We've all had our times where we've been hurt by others, hurt physically. Dreams have been crushed, and we've wept, right? Jesus then says, but woe to you. There's that word again. Say it with me. Woe. But woe to you if you laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. What was Jesus talking about there? The second thing that Jesus was talking about was pleasure, a word called the pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of pleasure. The people that were coming to Jesus weren't seeking pleasure. They were seeking to know the truth. And as they sought Jesus out, they were satisfied. And the message that they heard for the first time brought joy and peace to their heart. A joy and a peace that the best roller coaster in the world couldn't do. Okay? A peace and a joy that, you know, the best sunrise or sunset just wasn't able to fulfill. There was a joy and a peace that they'd been longing for that was now fulfilled in their own life. And so he deals with the pursuit of pleasure. And those that laugh and rejoice now, it's talking about those that are seeking pleasure. They're out there, they're partying, they're filling their life with all these things that are going to bring joy and excitement into their life. But the thing about pleasure is what? What brought you pleasure one moment isn't going to bring it the next, is it? Right? Whether it's relationships, right? Whether it's alcohol and drugs, whether it is, I don't know, you fill in the blank. See, pleasure has that It's just deceitful, isn't it? Because it can bring you pleasure one moment, you jump, you know, go bungee jumping, squeep, you know. All right? That's a thrill rush there, right? Okay, but once you've done it, now we have to go to, we have to go twice as far, right? Okay? Because we've done it. Pleasure's like that. Once you've experienced something, it no longer brings you the same high, if you want to use that word, right? And pleasure, then, it gets you trapped. And before you know it, it's kind of like, man, it brings pleasure for a moment, and then all of a sudden it drops you, and it's kind of like, man, I thought it was going to last for a moment, longer than it did. And when Jesus gets to those that laugh for a moment, you're going to weep and cry because you're going to miss out on heaven, for one thing. You're going to miss out on the joy and the peace that Jesus brings. And those that found Jesus, yeah, they maybe came with their weeping and their burdens and their cares, but they found a peace and a joy and a happiness that was going to carry them day in and day out. And when people accept Christ into their life, I'm not going to guarantee you that everything is going to go well. Yesterday is kind of like, oh man, there's a few things happening that it's kind of like, you know, and it doesn't mean your life is just going to fall into place. Sometimes it does. What does change is that you have Christ in your heart, and He's that constant joy and peace that regardless of the good times and the bad times, He's there. All right? He's going to be there. And that's what Jesus was talking. He's talking about this. In our world, it's all about seeking after pleasure, and it lasts for a moment and for a time, but it's eventually going to be gone. And what are you going to fill it with? You're going to fill it with something else, the next thing out there that's going to bring you that pleasure? One of the movies that came out, and I haven't seen it, The Great Gatsby, I don't know if I will ever go see it or not. But it really brings out that idea of pursuit of pleasure, right? The guy, it's all based on that. This idea of pleasure, the meals, the fine food, the parties. But I think it kind of leads him down a bad path, right? And he gets to the end and it's kind of empty. The pursuit of pleasure. That's where it leaves you. Woe to you if that's your purpose, if that's your goal, if that's your attitude, is to experience pleasure, it's going to drop you, it's going to leave you. But if our attitude is what Jesus portrays, to seek after Him, He's going to be our joy and our peace. There's a third thing that Jesus touches upon. And He says, blessed are you when men hate you. I don't like to be hated. When they exclude you and insult you, I don't like to be rejected. And reject you as evil because you are the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how they treated the prophets. Now, I don't like to be rejected. I don't like to be hated. I remember one of the first jobs I got out of high school. I started working for my dad when I was 12 in construction. Kind of hard on my boys because of that. But I remember I got that first job right out of, I graduated, and the next day I showed up at work. And I got paid good money. But there was one guy there that just hated me. He just hated me. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe I looked at him wrong. I don't know. He just hated me, you know. And it really made that job difficult. Made that job difficult. And in this world, if you wear the name Christ upon you, you live for Christ, not everybody's going to like that, folks. Okay? The disciples found that out. To represent Christ and to testify for Him brought them hardship, even from religious people, especially from the religious people. Isn't that kind of ironic? That's who Jesus was crucified by as well. The religious people. But Jesus says, but woe, verse 26, say it with me, woe, when men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. What's the third issue that Jesus is touching upon? He's talking about pride, the pride of life. See, Clara read those. Did you catch that? The three different areas. Do not love the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. We also call that fame, popularity, you know, and it boils down to who are we wanting praise from? Are we wanting the praise of men? Or are we wanting the praise of God? That's what it boils down to. And see, those that were seeking the praise of God were on that mountainside that day. They had surrounded Jesus, and they probably had to go by people that says, you're going up that hill to be with Jesus, huh? Really? Or maybe they had friends and family that says, you're gonna, Mom or Dad, you can't go and, you're gonna go and try and find that traveling preacher that's going around? Who's gonna feed us? We don't know all the rejection, but we do know that those that represented Christ faced a lot of rejection for bearing his name. And if we go through this world, okay, you get into school, we have this thing called peer pressure. And not only does it affect teenagers, it affects you in the workplace and in our communities. And there's nothing wrong with being popular. There's nothing wrong with being received by other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes our goal, okay, our pursuit to gain the praise of men, it's going to lead us down a wrong path. Why? Because ultimately people are going to, regardless of how much we compromise, see, that's where we compromise, is because we want the praise of men. We want to be accepted, and so we begin to compromise our values, right? I'll go out and hang out and drink and party, and I'll go and do all those things. I'll smoke and do weed. Why? So I'd be accepted and begin to compromise the praise of men. Jesus says that those that will receive the eternal reward of those that seek the praise of God and seek his approval, that obey him and hear his voice. And so Jesus touches upon pride of life, and how are we going to deal with that? All of us like to be congratulated for doing a good job, don't we? Right? We like to hear our mom and dad says, man, you did a good job. Those things are important. But if that becomes our total goal in life, it's going to let us down. The pride of life will let us down. Because ultimately people will reject us. Ultimately people are going to hurt us. But there's one that will never leave us nor forsake us. You know what his name is? Jesus. And if we seek his praise, if we seek his approval, there again, he's going to give us the peace, the joy, and the promise of heaven. You know, I think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets in the Old Testament. Him and Isaiah had the biggest books in the Old Testament. But Jeremiah was a prophet in Israel as Israel was kind of falling apart. They're about ready to be shipped off to Babylon because of their disobedience. God kept giving them warnings. He kept sending them prophets. And so Jeremiah is on this backside. Israel is in decline. And God gives him a message. He goes, I want you to speak to the people to turn from their ways and to seek my face. And do you think the people of Israel said, hey, yeah, let's do that, right? No. They said, Jeremiah, we don't care what you have to say. We don't want to hear it. You're a Bible thumper. Okay? I don't know if they said that, but they didn't like the message that Jeremiah had to say. And Jeremiah says, you know what? I want to just take that message and keep it locked up inside. Because then I'd be accepted by other people. People wouldn't look down on me. They wouldn't be rude to me on the street. But he says, you know what? It's like a fire that is shut up within me. You ever had a fire on the inside? He said, I can't keep it there. It's going to burn me up. I have to speak what God has given me. Worst case of heartburn, okay? He goes, I can't keep it in. I have to speak what God has given me, the message. And because of that, by his culture, he was basically rejected. There was a few people that listened to Jeremiah, and Jerusalem ends up falling to the Babylonians. We don't really know. In the Bible movie that was on TV, they show him going to Egypt, escaping. We don't know exactly for sure where Jeremiah ended up. I know he's up there. He's in heaven. Because he didn't seek the approval of men, but he sought the approval of God and the praise of God. Jesus touches upon three things in these Beatitudes. He talks about how we handle the material things of this life. He talks about how we handle the pursuit of pleasure and how we handle the praise of men, the pride of life. And our attitude towards those three things is going to probably affect where we will spend eternity. It'll affect our joy and fulfillment here on this earth. If we have the attitude that seems contrary to the world, but if we have the attitude that Jesus portrayed and spoke truth to, we're going to know His joy, His peace, His fulfillment. But if we pursue the things of this world over Him, we're going to be left empty and without God. Have the musicians come. Kids, you did a great job this morning. As Jesus taught on the hillside that day, He ministered to people who came to them. He offered healing. He offered hope. He offered comfort, the promise of heaven. You know, the human tendency is to live for today, isn't it? Live for today. Make myself comfortable. Be accepted by people. Enjoy the moment. There's nothing wrong with pleasure, folks. There's nothing wrong with material things. There's nothing wrong with being accepted. But if those things have us, and if those things are our goal instead of God, and He doesn't have that first place within our lives, it leads us down paths that we don't want to go. And that's what Jesus was touching upon that day. He was speaking truth to the people, and He was showing them the way to God the Father. And the main point is that Jesus says, blessed or happy. Okay, that's what the word blessed means. It means happy are those who seek Jesus over the things of this world. Over the things of this world. Over pride, over material things, over the praise of men. Amen? He must be our first love. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to close with that chorus that we sang earlier. We're going to close with that chorus we sang earlier, There's None Like You. And I think it was Martin Luther that says that we don't tell lies, we sing them. Okay? There's none like you. Is that true of you this morning? Does Jesus have that first place in your life? First of all, is He your Lord and Savior? But as we go through this life, if we're going to be honest, folks, we deal with how to handle material things. Clothes, the nice house, the nice car. Nothing wrong with those things, folks. But they can easily grab our attention and our heart. They can become our treasure instead of Christ becoming our treasure. Pleasure. You know, I like to do some things that bring me pleasure. But that can't be my total because those things aren't always there. But Jesus is. And then the pride of life. How we handle the praise of men and the praise of God. And so this morning as we sing that, I pray you make that your prayer, and I hope you mean it. And will you just do a checklist in your own life and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? God's not going to kick you out. But you've heard the truth of God's word this morning, so now we have to say, how does my life line up? Okay? How am I doing in this area? How am I doing in this area? How am I lining up? All right? Let's make that our purpose.